And we will read in the book of John, chapter 4, John's Gospel, and chapter 4. And verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now turn back in your Bibles, please, to the book of Jeremiah and the 8th chapter. I wish to notice 3 verses with you this evening from God's Word regarding harvest time, times of gathering of harvest, which is really what is taking place in gospel series of meetings. God is gathering for eternity. Now notice in Jeremiah and the 8th chapter, and just 1 verse, verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. What a sad lament. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now one final reading, please, in the Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 13. Verse 27, please, of Matthew 13. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tare? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now notice the interpretation in verse 37. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Our God will bless the reading of His Word. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, we find the Lord Jesus, and He has just had the joy of seeing a woman come to know Him as her personal Redeemer and Lord. He has just had the joy of giving to this woman the peace of knowing her sins forgiven. And mind you, friend, tonight, that's what gospel meetings are all about. God is still doing that. He's still looking out men and women who have thirsty hearts, longing hearts. Their hearts have been disillusioned by the world and all that's in it. They're empty. Sin has disappointed them. The world has left them empty. They've discovered that as a sinner before God, they have nothing to die with and keep them out of hell. They've got nothing to meet God with. And the Lord Jesus is looking for just such people. People that have come to know that they need Him. They need Christ. They need forgiveness. They need everlasting life. And the Lord Jesus said, that's my need. That's what I'm here for. Just to see men and women come to know the great joy of everlasting life that I long to give to them. And so this dear woman, she went back home to the city and brought out others to hear the message. To come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And when they came, they were all amazed to hear the message of the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus, He's going to picture just what has happened now. Here is this woman, and she has come to receive peace with God, sins forgiven, everlasting life for eternity. And the Lord Jesus says, why, that's what God's doing. He's gathering in His harvest. Why, He says, this is the time to harvest. Don't look on the fields and say, well, there's still 4 months yet. There's lots of time. Ah, no, said the Savior. There's no time to lose. This is the harvest time. God is gathering in men and women. And in a simple manner, the Lord Jesus presented to that woman the gift of everlasting life. Just as simple as receiving a drink of water. And the dear woman took it in all its simplicity. She received it. She took the drink of everlasting life, a drink of water from the Lord Jesus, and her sins were forgiven. A simple act of faith in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, and she received everlasting life. My friend, tonight, that's why we're in Vancouver. We've come a long way from our home, but I want to tell you, we're as happy as we can be to be in this city tonight, and to tell all that will listen that God is still gathering in men and women, still gathering sinners to Himself to forgive them of all their sins, righteously, freely, and eternally. To give them eternal life as a gift of His love and of His grace. The only passport to heaven, eternal life. If you don't have it, you'll never be in heaven. But thank God, this is the time that God is offering it. And friend, whatever you do, don't miss out on the offer. Get eternal life. It is God's great joy and desire that you should have it. He's gathering. He's gathering. You know, friend, that's the reason that the Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross. He did not go to the cross just as some people think to be a model of what devotion is and a model of what love is. Oh, there was a far deeper meaning to the violence and the sufferings of Christ when He gave His life on Calvary's tree. My friend, the Bible reveals that the work of Calvary is the foundation stone for God to be able to come out to sinful men like you and I, unworthy of mercy. Why, if God gave me what I deserve tonight, He would close His hand on my breath and send me straight to hell. That's all I deserve. And I've never killed a man. I've never been drunk one day in my life. And I don't smoke. And I don't do drugs or any such a thing that you might look upon and frown upon, and well, you might. But listen, friend. I was born a sinner on the way to hell. And I sinned against God in mind and word and action. And I deserve His wrath and judgment just like you do. And friend, thank God there was a moment in my life
when I was gathered in. Came to know the Lord Jesus just like this woman did. Came to know His saving, forgiving grace. And that's why I'm here. And would love to see you have it, friend, if you don't have it already. God's salvation. That's what He's doing. But it cost Him His precious blood to make that possible. It cost the sinless Son of God the violence and the death and the bloodshed of Calvary. That heaven may be able to hold out to you tonight, young man, young woman, dear father, dear mother, that God should hold out to you a hand of mercy and be able to say to you, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, irrespective of what you are, for God knows it, irrespective of who you are, for God knows you, and such is the sufficiency of the work of His Son at Calvary. God is able to say, whosoever. My friend, that's why we're here. If there was any discrimination in the gospel, it wouldn't be worth preaching. It's for everybody. And we can tell you tonight, young and old, rich or poor, wherever you come from, God has loved you. Christ has died that you might be saved. And the offer of the gospel tonight is for whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's harvest. He's gathering. My God gathers from far and near. He has sent His servants away off into other lands tonight. In South America, away yonder in the eastern lands, away to the west of us further still, He has sent men from these shores, from this very city, in the far-off lands. The purpose? To spread the news of grace. God is gathering. He's bringing them in from every tongue and people and nation. What is God doing, friend, in this great harvest? He's bringing men to give them to the Lord Jesus that they might be with His Son as part of the great church of Christ that will fill heaven with praises forever and ever. Why wouldn't you like to be amongst that number? Wouldn't you like, my friend, that your voice should help swell that chorus of honor to the Lord Jesus? I often contemplate that day when the church will be gathered home and in one sudden moment, heaven will burst with the praises of men and women that have been raptured from earth away to glory, to be with the Lord Jesus forever. And they're looking back to that time on earth when they came to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and were cleansed from sin in the virtues of His precious blood. My friend, I ask you again, wouldn't you like to be amongst that man? My, to think of being sure of heaven and sure you'll never be in hell. What a harvest! What a harvest! God is gathering. When God begins to gather people and to draw them to Himself, He touches their conscience. He makes them aware that they need Him. Am I speaking to someone tonight? And God so tenderly has been making you aware that this old world doesn't satisfy. There's something more to it than what I'm getting out of. And when I die, where will I ever be? My friend, let me tell you, that's God drawn. He's seeking to gather you. He wants you in heaven. We can tell you, friend, with every confidence tonight, it would give the God of heaven in all His infinite greatness absolute pleasure to see you respond to His gathering and come to know His Son. He'd love to have you in heaven. May I just say, young man, young woman, you make sure the devil doesn't cheat you out of it and laugh at you when you go down. God wants you to be gathered there. God's heart. But I hasten, I want you to notice the solemnity of the lament that we read from Jeremiah chapter 8. A people who heard about the harvest, a people who understood that the harvest would end, After all, a harvest time doesn't go on forever. And friend, neither your life, nor God's patience, nor the day of salvation will last forever. Not indeed, not friend. Your life may end sooner than you think. So may mine. I'm glad I'm ready tonight. I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God for His grace that saved me. I got saved on a Sunday night, sitting in a little bedroom, all by myself. No tingle ran down my spine, friend. I came as a poor, miserable sinner to see that the Lord Jesus at Calvary willingly, lovingly took my place under God's judgment for my sin so I could be saved and go to heaven. And that night, sitting on the bed, I just took Him at His word. He says, "Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm sitting right there on the side of the bed, God saved me, and I'm going to be in heaven. My friend, that's what God wants you to have tonight. And these people knew that. These people knew that God had a plan of salvation for them. These people had been made aware that they were in danger, that their time was running out swiftly. You know, they just played with it. They just played with it. You know what they did with the preacher? The preacher, dear Jeremiah, I want to tell you, if Jeremiah was here tonight, the man that preached to these people, he'd stir this place up. I want to tell you, turn it upside down. He was so inflamed with the desire to see these people saved. The Bible tells us, morning after morning, he got up before the people went to their work. And he stood on the street corners and cried to them to tell them of their need to be saved. Thank God for faithful preachers. Dear Jeremiah. And my friend tonight, we hope that you get stirred up, that you need to be saved, or you will be lost forever. But these people, they just, you know what they do with the old preacher? They took him and put him in a slime pit. They didn't want any more of that preacher going to work. They probably couldn't get away from it all day long. And I want to say, friend, tonight, I hope that we can put into your mind and heart tonight something that you won't forget until you get to know Christ. Poor Jeremiah, they tried to silence his voice, but they couldn't silence his message. You know, the time came and the time went. The solemn moment came when God withdrew the offer. And these people had to face the awful reality. The harvest is past. The summer's ended. And we're not saved. No escape now. No defense now. And sad to say, no excuse. No excuse. Not saved. My friend, may I ask you very, very kindly and tenderly tonight, if upon your deathbed you find yourself like these people, what will you ever have as an excuse? When sitting in a gospel meeting, you were told of God's desire for your salvation. You were warned that there's a real hell from which you must escape. But you trifle. And lying facing the stark enemy of death, you would have to say these words, "I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I'm not saved." And your breath to be silent, and your soul and spirit to take its place. Not saved. Not saved. No defense from the wrath of God against your life of sin. No escape. Friend, from the unutterable horror of hell and the lake of fire of which you've been warned so lovingly by God. No escape and no excuse. Your mouth will be closed forever. You might have been saved, but you trifle. Not saved. But as I close the first part of this meeting, I would like to remind you of the second coming of Christ. He's coming again. Coming back again to this old world, friend. And when he comes, you know what he's going to do? He's going to gather another harvest. Sure enough, he's going to separate a company like this. There will be those that will be gathered, and he says they'll be gathered into the kingdom. My, how precious. Gathered into the joy of his own presence and the kingdom of his righteousness and grace forever. He says there will be bundles that will be gathered to be burned. Of Solomon, there will be bundles of people that sat in gospel meetings, and they will be gathered. There will be bundles of sons and daughters of Christian parents. There will be bundles of mockers, those that laughed in the meetings. There will be bundles of men and women who had no time to come to the meeting. Bundles of sinners gathered by the angels. God, write it upon your heart, young man. Young woman in this meeting tonight, there's a harvest coming when the bundles of tares will be gathered. Be forever damned. Why? Because they would not respond when God was willing to gather them and save them. Thank God, friend, while the moments tick by, it is still God's harvest time. It is still tonight the moment of opportunity. Oh, can I put into your heart tonight a little desire to be saved? First of all, let me tell you, it's a grand thing to be saved. There's nothing like it. The world doesn't have a thing to offer that's like God's salvation. Not a thing. And furthermore, it's absolutely necessary if you'll ever miss hell and be sure of heaven. May I ask you tonight, would you not like to be saved and sure of heaven? You listen. Listen, friend, for all your worth, because don't forget, this is God's heart. This is His time. Gospel meetings like this, He has already begun to gather them. Souls to get saved. So I hope you're the next. As a poor sinner, to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him as your Savior, and you'll be part of that great harvest of everlasting joy. You trifle. You mock. You choose not to come. And don't forget, the harvest will pass. The summer will end. And you'll be not safe. Oh, friend, tremble before God tonight. Trifle with a moment of mercy. And the harvest passed. And you be lost.